Turn in your New Testaments to the Epistle of Colossians, your Old Testament to Daniel, Prophet Daniel. Normally in this challenge, before the week of prayer and fasting, I would perhaps handle it more instructively, practically. Tonight, I, Lord willing, would like just to share something that would be inspirational to our hearts. So Colossians in the New Testament, Daniel in the Old Testament. God bless you for being here tonight. We'll pray return home will be safe. And just trust the Lord will continue to move in our hearts. Amen. Make this time together eternally profitable. Well, we need the Lord, don't we? The real moving of His Spirit. Amen. Oh, that's okay. I thought maybe you wanted me to sing. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, let's look at Colossians first. I've got to not do this so much, but I won't get into it. But there's different kind of ifs. There's ifs that it's not a reality, and then there's ifs that are realities. And this if is a reality. You could read it, since ye then be risen with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, what? Seek. Could everyone say that word with me tonight? Seek. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Book of Daniel, we won't take the time to look in the story, but I'll read one verse, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. Daniel said, I set my face unto the Lord to, could you say the word with me, to seek. How did he seek? How did he seek God? By prayer and supplications with fastings. That's how Daniel sought the Lord in sackcloth and ashes. I just want to share a challenge tonight with just one word. Seek. Seek. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. A lot of folks are scared to be in a church by themselves. I've even had an evangelist in the evangelist quarters wake me up in the middle of the night and tell me somebody was in the church. And an advantage of spending a lot of time here is I learn all the sounds. I don't get scared anymore. I know that door back there, at times it'll open and shut, if the draft's just right in this place. Now, that would spook you if you was here by yourself, but I know the cause of it, and it doesn't spook me. I was here this week alone in the foyer painting, and even though I knew what it was, the wind came up. But all of a sudden, even though my mind was telling me what it was, I just stopped. It sounded so much like a sister in a back Sunday school room calling out to God with all of her heart. I've had that experience. I've had that experience in my childhood where you come early before church and maybe folks were praying in the sanctuary before service, but people would begin to find a Sunday school room somewhere in the church and begin just to call out, seeking God for the service, pleading. And I stopped for a while, and I knew it was the wind, but it sounded so much like an earnest seeking of the face of God. It stirred so many memories. How many can remember hearing that sound of people desperate for God, desperate to see God move, hungry for the moving of His Spirit? And you could just hear it, whether it was in the altars after service, whether it was in the Sunday school room or a prayer room, that sound of seeking God. I want to tell you, it's a definitive thing tonight to seek the Lord. It's an evident thing. I want you to think in terms of analogy, but in real life, seeking is a distinct, recognizable behavior. You can tell when somebody's looking for something. If you don't believe, just look up here. Can you tell what I'm doing? Isn't it evident what I'm doing? Because seeking is a distinct behavior that's recognized. Now, that was a physical representation, but do you think it's any different among the people of God when we gather to worship? Whether it's a time of concert worship, whether it's singing, whether it's altar service, whether it's listening to the word. Do you think it's any different? Do you think it's still recognizable when people are seeking? Seeking in the preaching, seeking in the worship, seeking in the singing? I want to ask a question tonight, and I'm just trying to make a challenge, but when was the last time you set your heart to seek the Lord? This is going to be a special season in my life where I'm going to intensely seek the Lord. When's the last time? That's what this week is for. It's to be a time when you set your heart to seek the Lord. I want to make a statement, and I hope this goes way beyond just the sanctuary tonight. And it's such a blatant statement, but it's so true. Did you know that only you can take responsibility for your spirituality? Nobody else can. Only you can take responsibility for your spirituality. So let me just give you some things about seeking tonight. First of all, you don't seek for what you already have or think you have. You know what? I have not this evening been in my office looking for my keys. I haven't. You know why? You know why I haven't been seeking for my keys? I got them. You don't seek for what you have or think you have. Some people aren't seeking because they think they have. They haven't come to the awareness that they don't have. Now, I'll tell you one thing. If I had reached into my pocket and couldn't find it, what am I immediately going to do when I realize I don't have it? I'm going to start seeking. You see, we have God. I know that. We're saved people. That's why we're here tonight in a snow, a storm, or whatever you want to call it. We have God, but do we have Him in the fullness that we need Him? In the nearness that we need Him? You see, we don't have to seek God because He hid Himself. You use this word seek and people start saying, well, what's God doing, hiding from us? We don't seek Him because He has hid Himself from us. In fact, He's revealed Himself to us. Did you know we have never sought God except He has first sought us? So why are we seeking for God if He hasn't hid Himself? Well, we seek for God for the same reason we seek for our keys. Why do you seek for your keys? We've done some with them. We left them where we shouldn't have. We've put them somewhere and walked off. We gave them to somebody, entrusted with somebody. We shouldn't have. The grandkids did something with them. We seek for God because of things that have gone in our life that we're not finding Him as we ought. You don't seek for what you already have or think you have. I want to give you some questions to ask as you're seeking God this week. Where is God working in my life, and where does He want to work? That's a good question to ask when you're seeking. Where is God working in my life, and where does He want to work? Another question you can ask is, as you seek the Lord, is, who am I to God? Who am I to God? And who is God to me? Those are some very personal questions, but they enable us to seek the Lord. Oh, I want to seek Him. You don't seek for what you think you have. I want to be aware of my lack and my need. Then I'll seek Him. Let me share something else. You never seek for something unless you realize it's missing. And I know this seems redundant from the point I just made, but this is the moment when you realize you don't have it. It's missing. It's gone. If I have all of God I think I need, all of God I want, I'll not seek Him. But when I realize there's something missing in my life, missing in my experience, missing in my walk, that's when I begin to seek the Lord. We only seek for what we want or need. I didn't go looking for my lawnmower today. I know that's an astounding revelation, but why didn't I go looking for my lawnmower today? Why didn't I go looking for a weed eater string? Why didn't I? Because I have no need of it. And folks that have no sense of need of God, they don't seek Him. Folks that have no sense of what's missing in their life, they don't seek God. I'll tell you who seeks the Lord. It's those that realize something's missing. Now, you might have went looking for your snow shovel today because you need it. I think of those frantic times needing a certain tool. I know I have it somewhere. There's hardly a tool that I would need that I don't have. I just don't remember where I put it, and I'm a very organized person. But I'm so organized, I got too many places of organization, too many cubbyholes. But I tell you, when I get involved in doing a job, there's that frantic moment, where is the tool? I've got to have that particular tool right now. I've got, and this is no stretch of the imagination, I've got thousands and thousands of screws and nails, literally. I never have the one I need for the job. I've always got to look through all the drawers, every little cubbyhole. I'm telling you, when you really need something, when you really need something, when you really want something, you'll seek for it. Listen to what the psalmist said. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know, there's one thing here that just kind of qualifies this. It's not just seeking. He said, there's one thing that I seek after. We can be torn apart seeking so many things of this world, but I'll tell you what God will do. He'll unify. You'll just be seeking him, and you'll find everything you need in that one search. We have so much to seek God for right now, not just our own personal lives, but our families, so much in the church, sicknesses and needs, so much in our country to seek the Lord. I find myself a lot so aggravated at the politicians right now, I go on a tirade, a harangue. Did you know Scripture encourages us to seek the Lord for our leaders? So much to seek the Lord for right now. We don't have to think, well, what am I going to pray about next week, or what am I going to seek God for during the revival? There's so much right now. Hosea, I love the Scripture. The prophet said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. You know, sometimes to get hungry for God, you got to do something to your heart. Break up the fallow ground. For why? It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. How many has a sense in your heart? It is time to seek the Lord. I'll tell you when you can really, 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 really know it's time to seek the Lord. When you're not feeling like it's time to seek the Lord. If you don't feel that desire to seek the Lord, that's really, really, really the time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord for the basics that we so desperately need. Peace and victory and rest and purity and renewal and refreshing. I'll tell you why some need to seek the Lord. They're just plain bored with their spiritual life. And it's never God's fault. And it's never the church's fault. And it's never the choir's fault when I get bored with my spiritual walk. Someone wanted to know if we're having church. If I've reached that place of doldrums in my spiritual life, spinning my tires, it's not a time to quit. It's not a time to find fault. It is time to seek the Lord. Let me give you another thing about seeking. You do not seek what you do not value. I like to take these little hikes and things, you know, out through the woods and across the hills. And so let's say you're hiking down a trail that's right next to an embankment, drop off several feet, and you got a toothpick you had from... I may have to answer this, folks. Give me a moment. I'm going to have to turn that off because it knocks my notes off. And you're walking, you got this toothpick. You just had dinner and got this toothpick in your mouth, and you're walking along that path, and that toothpick falls out and falls down that embankment. How many of you going to go after that toothpick looking for it through the grass and the brush? I've got to find that toothpick. How many's going to do that? Why? You don't value that toothpick very much, do you? I know this is deep, but stick with me. But now let me ask you, walking down the same path and you drop your cell phone, what are you going to do? Who's going to be climbing down the side of that mountain looking through the brush? You know why? Because you value that cell phone. We don't seek what we don't value. If we value an experience with God, if we value our time with the Lord, if we value more of God, we'll seek Him. You see, if a person's only after carnal sensations, they will not care to experience God. Therefore, they will not. This message is not on persistence. Yes. Amen. Sister Hurst, just make sure it's not an emergency. You can come and call me. Just go call her back. Amen. That's unique, but it's a unique night. You do not seek what you do not value. If you're only after carnal sensations, you'll not care to experience God, and you will not seek Him. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy. I've been in Timothy and Titus this week, and my heart's been stirred. It says so much about in the last days people being deceived and turning aside and losing their faith. And I'm not going to dwell on this passage, but it says in chapter 3, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men," verse 2, "for men shall be," and there's a long list of things, but look at verse 4. "For men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." If that's not descriptive of our world, I don't know what. But if that's not descriptive of much of the church world, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I guarantee you, I know the weather wouldn't permit, but if we was announcing we was having a little kids carnival out here, we'd load this parking lot up with cars, right? Free cotton candy, everything. If you called a prayer meeting, how empty you think that lot would be? Whew. Isn't that right? The time we live in, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You do not seek what you do not value. Look what it says in Psalms chapter 10. "The wicked, through pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." He doesn't value God. He values wicked things. God is not in all his thoughts. And then I want us to note that you have to seek whatever you're seeking for. You have to seek it where it can be found. I remember reading a story years ago, and I know it's a dated illustration, but I really thought it was kind of hilarious. But a man was out at night, and as he walked down the street, dark streets, there's periodically the street lights, and he saw a man up under one of those street lights just frantically looking around, down on his knees and looking in the gutter and looking up on the curb and the sidewalk all around that light. And he walked up to the man. He said, "What in the world is going on?" He said, well, I dropped my gold coin, my gold dollar. He said, "I'm looking everywhere for it." And the man that had come upon him said, "Well, can I help you? Just exactly where did you drop it?" And the man said, "Oh, I dropped it up 50 feet up the street, but there's no street light there. I'm down here looking where I can see." Huh? It was just as ludicrous. Folks are seeking for God where they'll never find Him. Seeking for happiness where they'll never find it. Seeking for peace where they'll never find it. You have to seek where it can be found. I want to ask a question tonight. Are there things in your life where you could never expect to find God? Think about that. What about a particular TV program? Are you going to find God there in that TV program? What about that relationship? Are you going to find God in that relationship? That website? You going to find God? Amen. I love what the prophet Isaiah said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and do what? Call ye upon him when he is near." How many believe, I know even tonight, but the Spirit of the Lord was so rich in the services. How many believe you could have found the Lord here this morning? Seek for him where he can be found. I mean, we have a revival. I'll tell you what, he can be found there. He can be found in the seasons of prayer. He can be found reading through the Word as you're reading through the Word. Seek God where he can be found. There's a lot of places you'll never find God. I'm not speaking of his not being omniscient and all of that. I'm talking about just finding him to experience him. And then if you're really seeking for something, you must believe that it's findable, that you can find it. A couple of years ago at Thanksgiving, my grandson found his great-grandmother's false teeth in the bedroom and flushed them and flushed them down the commode. But once I discovered they were past the trap, I quit looking. I'm not going to ever find them. You might as well quit looking. You're on a ship, and you got a diamond, you're holding it, and the ship lurches, and you're over a mile deep ocean, and that diamond, it goes overboard and sinks. You going to look for it? No, it's not findable. Perhaps you can think of a better illustration. I'll use that next time. But I want you to know some things aren't findable. Aren't you glad God is findable? Amen. Look what it says in Jeremiah 29. And ye shall seek for me and find me when ye shall search for me. Finish it with me. With all your heart. Amen. He's findable. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, say it with me, seek him. I keep thinking that it's one of those more modern songs. It talks about seeking the Lord. You can help me, Brian. When I seek him, the more I seek him, the more I find him. Brad, did I say Brian? Okay. Finish the words for me. The more I seek him, the more I find him. The more I find him, the more I love him. Amen. Aren't you glad you can find him tonight? Look what the psalmist said again in Psalm 24. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. I want to talk just briefly to you, young people. Oh, thank God you're here tonight. That says a lot. But it'd be wonderful just to point at you and apply this verse. This is the generation of them that seek him. You know, we often point at older folks and say, that's the generation that really sought God and had revival. Or maybe the middle-aged folks, that's the generation that sought the Lord. But I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to be able to point at our young people and say, this is the generation that seeks the Lord. Prayer meetings break out in your gatherings, your times together, speaking on whatever the social media is of spiritual things, of hunger for the Lord. Amen. Do you really believe the scriptures I just read? If you seek him, you'll find him. Hallelujah. Oh, if we'd feel after him, we'd discover he's not far from any one of us. Amen. And so I want to bring this down tonight to this simple challenge. This is a week of fasting and prayer. I want to revisit that one verse from Daniel as we close tonight. Go ahead and come, music. Daniel said, I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. We don't do the sackcloth and ashes anymore. There was a time they tore their garments, but the prophets foresaw a time when he said, don't rend your garment, rend your heart. And it's not physical sackcloth and ashes. Today it's humility of heart and mind and humbling ourselves before the Lord. But he said, I set my face to seek the Lord by prayer, supplications, and fasting. The psalmist said in Psalm 27, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. Here's a challenge this week. We've already been challenged to pray every day. But number one, devote a period of your daily prayer just to pray for revival, for the church, people in the church, the needs of the church, whether that's 10 minutes of your prayer time or whatever. Say every day, I'm going to pray for revival, pray for revival. Amen. If there is a move of God, it won't be by accident or by default. It'll be because folks prayed for it. If we get this many folks that's even here tonight on this snowy Sunday evening, this many young people, to pray every day that God would send. You know, something happens and you start praying for revival. It just starts stirring. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands tonight like we normally do, but just make up your heart right now. I'm going to commit my heart this week to every day praying for revival. And then there's that fasting. That's never a popular topic, ever. Fasting. Basically, fasting is doing without food for a period of time, not to prove your stamina, not to just be hard on your body and have a little miserable day there. But you do without food to spend that time with the Lord. and to show that you are willing to put the flesh down, the natural man down, that the spirit can arise and be strong. I know it's a difficult thing. That's why I ask in the commitment, just one day, however you want to figure the hours of the day. I told you I wasn't going to get into practical tonight. But if you're going to fast tomorrow, don't stay up till midnight stuffing yourself. You'll just be more hungry. You know, it's not that kind of thing. It's the kind of thing that this is a holy time that I'm setting apart to seek the Lord. You get hungry. You know, you get up on a day you're not fasting, and you may go clear till afternoon and never eat, never think about being hungry. But if you get up tomorrow and say, I'm going to fast, you'll wake up starving, hungry. I'm telling you what, this flesh protests in every way seeking God. Did you know your flesh will protest coming to the altar tonight in every way? Amen. But set aside that time to seek the Lord. However you want to do it. I know some people have physical situations. You can't go without food. You got sugar diabetes, this or that, this thing or that. Maybe there's something else you could substitute or do without. I tell you what, sometimes I think we ought to forget the food fast and do some other kind of fast, like social media and devices and programs. And amen? I think we'd have revival if we just did a lot of fasting of, I started to say gossip. That sounds a little harsh, but if we just fasted talking about things we shouldn't be talking about, our minds would get on the Lord. Well, how did we start tonight? Since ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right, and do what? Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. And so the challenge is tonight, each one of you, take at least 1 week. Young people, this will be a tremendous time in your life spiritually. It's not an endurance thing. It's not a beat yourself up thing. It's a thing to devote yourself to seeking God. And to really seek God, sometimes you have to say no to the natural man, no to the flesh, that the spiritual man can come alive. Amen. Take that challenge, that praying every day for a revival, fasting for revival. Fast with the purpose. Yes, the general purpose is to draw close to the Lord. But fast for things. Fast for healings. People you know need to be healed. Fast for folks that need deliverance. Fast for victories that we need to see within our church body. I mean, fast that God would move. And I'm not going into that tonight. But there is a fast. The scripture says it will deliver the captive. Set the captive free. It's not a vending machine, make God move, pay for it thing. It's drawing close to the Lord. Amen. I read it a bit premature, but I want to close with this tonight. Psalm 27, verse 8. When thou saidest, God said, seek ye my face. What was the response? My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I mean, I end up qualifying everything. I don't need to qualify. I appreciate when people understand that God speaks to whomever's up here, and if the preacher calls you to the altar, you take that as God calling. But just think, if it wasn't me tonight, but if God himself, I know we're using our imaginations, if God himself were up here and he said, come pray in the altars, would there be a difference? Would there be a difference? If God said, come and seek my face, amen, what would the response be? Lord, thy face I will seek. Does anyone, you don't need to lift a hand, but is anyone hearing the Lord tonight say, seek my face, seek my face? What should be our response? Yes, I'll seek your face. I'll seek, could you stand? Hallelujah. Lord, move upon us with your spirit. Lord, we live in a world of so much static. Thank you for this people tonight. Their open hearts, their open ears. Lord, the static's everywhere, diverting our attention from you, pointing our affection in other directions. We find ourselves seeking after so many other things. But Lord, unite our heart to seek you. All those other feelings and all those other desires and all those other quests reaching out in so many different directions. Lord, just bring them all together into one seeking and hungering after you. Lord, bless your people as they seek you, Lord. May it not just be a time of religious activity or endurance, but Lord, a time where they encounter you as they seek you according to your promises. Lord, bless your people tonight. Keep them safe. Amen. Amen. Let's take just a moment. Could you come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to seek your face. Would you come and feel the altar tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Church. is more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming.